Here I am. What's up? Good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. We have a great program lined up for you. By the way, we are aware, we know that there are arrests happening across the NBA. Terry Rozier, player, has been arrested. He has been connected in the past with allegations of gambling on games. Chauncey Billups, head coach in Portland, obviously legendary former Piston player, has been arrested. The details of that, we have a little bit more on. Sounds like a gambling situation involving poker, allegations of, but not the exact same situation as Rozier. And Damon Jones, former player that I have a connection to, and I'll tell, and someone more important than me has a connection to. So we know that it's going on. We are aware that it's important. There is a press conference happening very, very soon that will give us more information and the charges, we think, and perhaps there are more names that will be out there. We will talk about it in about 20 minutes when we presume to know a little bit more. And I will give you just a little bit of insight. Weirdly, strangely, of the three people arrested so far in the NBA sphere, I've broken bread with two of them in my life. I know two of those guys. So we'll talk about that. Yaron Weitzman's going to be on the show. I'm really excited. This is the guy who did the LeBron book that's making all the news, right? LeBron and throwing Kyrie under the bus and all those things. So we will, I will visit with Yaron later in the show. We've got buy or sell coming up. There were actual NBA games last night. You know, show's called Rider Than You. Every now and then, blind squirrel finds a nut, you know. Told you Wemby was going to be the MVP this year. He dropped a masterclass of an opener last night, so we'll talk about that. Phone number 888-710-4ISN, of course, buy or sell. Would you rather the incomparable Ryan resting smart face Hickey? We gave him a hard time this morning. He looked really sad. When his face is resting, everything is great. The guy's the best. Love Ryan Hickey. Ryan underscore Hickey, number three. I blame Manny, who was on the show before us. Just kidding. I was mean to Ryan, but I feel bad. I feel bad. There is a truth in life, and that is do not throw good money after bad, which I was going to say anyway, but has a totally different sort of darker context in light of the NBA gambling scandal that's out there. But it also just applies to human nature and applies to the high-stakes reality of trying to build a professional sports team, especially in a cap league like the NFL, especially in a league where you have to lock up a quarterback, but you can't be wrong with the money that it takes. QB's already made a ton of cash before Deshaun Watson went to Cleveland and got paid $250 million in guaranteed money. But that changed the game. And part of the reason owners were so angry, were so put out, were so, pardon my French, pissed off at the Browns for doing that, is it increased the stakes, the necessity of what you had to pay quarterbacks. And therefore, it's not the money necessarily. It increased the risks that you're going to sign to a massive deal the wrong guy. And what we've learned in the National Football League, and the prime example, void of silence alert coming, is Tua Tagovailoa. He's not the only guy that's been given a deal because teams had to lock him up because they thought they had something and couldn't risk the idea that he might go somewhere else and they'd have to start over. But he's the clearest example of how quickly, how fatally, how fantastically brutally these plans can fail. Look, Tua's awful. You know it, I know it, we all know it. He's been bad this year. He's not even that good over the course of his career. Guy's 39 and 30. This year, he has 10 interceptions. It's the most in the National Football League. Every 3 days, it feels like he says something that is even more problematic in terms of off-the-field leadership for a quarterback that is guaranteed to make in the neighborhood of $167 million than what he does on the field. We had throwing the guys under the bus. God, it feels like a month ago, a week or so ago. We had his response where he basically blamed the media and didn't really apologize and used the term void of silence, which doesn't mean anything. And then, I'm not making this up, since I last spoke to you on this network, on the Infinity Sports Network, Tua Tagovailoa, on purpose, knowing he was on the record because there were microphones and reporters there, told all of us he's too short to succeed.
I think with that, some of it has to do with being able to see guys, with their guys also up front and our guys. And I'm not the tallest guy in the back there either. So being able to see, and then, you know, sometimes when that happens, you don't want to just throw it blindly and you got to progress. So I think that had some merit to reasons as to why that happened for Waddle.
This guy couldn't hit Jalen Waddle I mean, this guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from 3 feet away. He couldn't hit the ocean from where surfers put their boards in. This guy couldn't hit Waddle because he's too short. And look, I am not a short-on-short crime kind of guy. I root for the short people. My high school buddies, I'm in New York tomorrow. I'll be in the office tomorrow doing the show. I'm excited to be back at the mothership. I'm going to be hanging out with my high school friends, and they always make fun of me because when I was younger, not now, I used to try to pick fights with tall guys because they were tall. Well, maybe when I drink a little bit. So my point is, I like short guys. I'm a short guy. I like everybody. Tall guys, short guys, let's live in harmony. But I'm not making fun of Tua for being short. I'm making fun of Tua for going out there and being like, oh, yeah, man, couldn't see over the line. That's why I suck at football. Here's the deal. You know what? Let me let Diane Russini, just say, this is on the Dan Lebatard show, out loud, the analysis, what we've all been thinking the last few weeks.
What's the second worst contract in the league?
Tua's up there. I think Trevor Lawrence gets thrown in there a lot when you talk about bad deals. Teams that are doing well have quarterbacks that are part of good programs with good coaching and good support. And at one point, I would have said the Dolphins were one of them. At one point, I believed in what Mike McDaniel and Tua were building. And this has really veered into a territory now where it seems like there is no hope left, that they really can't turn this around.
This is the critical point that Russini makes, and this is the thing where I know that I'm crushing an organization, and I'm crushing a quarterback in Tua that I praised a year or two ago, and Russini hits on this. It seemed like it was going to work. It seemed like this was a team that was on the verge. This was an organization that had a brilliant, bright mind at the head coach, had a left-handed quarterback who maybe didn't have the strongest arm on earth but had won a national championship and we thought was remarkably precise. You pair him with the game plan that Mike McDaniel was going to cook up week in and week out with the speed of the now injured Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, and we thought this was a team that was going to do real things, and we saw proof that maybe he could. Before the concussion issues that Tua went through, which was awful, this was a playoff team. This is a team that played the Chiefs at Arrowhead when it was negative 50 degrees or whatever the hell it was. They were on the verge. And so it actually is understandable why they made a mistake in giving Tua the money that they gave him. It's also going to be something that punishes them for a long time. Tua has his dead cap money this year, if released before June 1st, league year, $99 million. It drops the dead cap hit to $67.4 million for the 26 season and $31.8 in 27, so it gets split up a little bit, but still, you can't release him if he's released after June 1st. It's $45 million in dead cap money in 26 and 13.4 after if he's traded before that the following year. The point is, they are tied to a guy who can't play quarterback, who can't lead his team, who can't be relied on to go to a microphone and not offend everybody, and who can't avoid saying, I'm too short to play the quarterback position. And it's not just Tua where this has happened. And this is, I think, the reality of the NFL in a way that it was even more so than 5 or 10 or 15 years ago. Deshaun Watson changed the game. Part of the reason owners, they understood, GMs didn't want quarterbacks to make this kind of money is because now you can't be wrong and you have to decide before you know. It's not the equivalent of drafting a quarterback with a top 5 pick and having to guarantee them $200 million. And having to tie your cap up before you know if they can play in the NFL, but it's pretty close. We've had multiple people come on this show and say, you need 3 years to evaluate, minimum. I think Joe Theismann said this last time he was on, whether a quarterback's going to make it or not. You're often going to extend quarterbacks before that. Dak Prescott makes $60 million per year, and his practically guaranteed number, right, the guaranteed amount of money that he's basically going to get, that includes sort of how the Cowboys are locked in for reasons of dead cap money if they want to get rid of him, is $231 million. Trevor Lawrence, $200 million guaranteed money. Tua, I told you, $167 million. Remember Kyler Murray? Should they or shouldn't they have the Cardinals? And look, full disclosure, and I get to do this from a radio chair. I don't have to do this from a GM's front office where I'll get fired by an owner if I'm wrong. I didn't think that Arizona should have extended Kyler Murray, and I didn't think the Cowboys should have extended Dak Prescott. And it looks like it's early. It's not early, but it's still to be TBD. It looks like I was right on Kyler and maybe wrong on Dak. Deshaun Watson, all the money's guaranteed, the entirety of the contract. And this is, there's a human nature reality to this if you're a GM. And here's the other part and component. It's not just that you have to find a cornerback and that you're not going to be sure when you give these guys money. It's also that human beings have a lot of trouble admitting that they're wrong. And that comes through on Sports Talk Radio all the time. One of my biggest pet peeves, one of the things I hate the most about the business that I love the most, is that other radio hosts, and I try to avoid it, I'm sure I do it too, that I respect, people I respect and like, and maybe some people I don't at other networks, have trouble admitting they're wrong in this business. And I used to think it was a radio thing. It's a human being thing. If you're a GM, and more to the point, an owner, and you draft somebody, and you invest in them, and you give them time, and you commit 1 or 2 or 3 years of your team's seasons to their starting quarterback role, which is obviously wildly significant, it's hard to just get up one morning and say, you know what, we were wrong. We were wrong. We got to move on. It is a difficult thing to do as a human being, and as an NFL GM or an owner, it's really hard to know sometimes. But look, I like to go to Vegas a lot. I like to go to Vegas, and one of the things I learned about gambling, and again, I was going to talk about this before the NBA gambling news broke. I take gambling problems seriously. One of my closest friends had one. You have to only gamble what you're willing to lose. And when I was young and had no money, I would take a certain amount of money to Vegas and I would only gamble that money. And what I learned in being in Las Vegas a lot and watching people not follow those rules is you can't throw good money after bad. If you go, I'm going to tell personal stories here. If you go to the blackjack table at the Bellagio at 3 in the morning on Tuesday, having been drinking, and you lose $500 of your $800 budget in 7 minutes, and you're out of money, you're done. You're an idiot. You screwed up. You drafted Tua. That's where you are. You shouldn't have been at the Bellagio or the Tungavailoa convention. It's over, and you have to stop. And most people can't. Whether they're moronic 28-year-olds in Vegas at a bachelor party or they're GMs sitting in Miami trying to figure out how to correct themselves from this error in judgment. If you're dating the wrong, why I did do this one. If you're dating the wrong girl, I didn't do this part of it, but friends did. If you're dating someone for 1 or 2 or 3 years or 4 years, and you realize, even though you live together and she's met your parents, and I don't know, there are some side benefits maybe that you enjoy about her company, that it's not right, that she's toxic, that it's awful. And ladies, this can work in the other direction too, right? You don't put a ring on it. You walk away. Some people can't do that. What's the Beyonce song? If you like it, you should put a ring on it. A lot of guys don't like it and put a ring on it anyway. They just get caught up in the, well, maybe it's me and the fear of what's next, and I don't know. You have to be able to break up with someone, Tua Tagovailoa, when the signs are there. Or you're going to wake up in a marriage where they're talking about voids of silence and I'm too short to see over the line and it's all going to go to hell. I'll tell you another story about this. I went to Madrid with my kids a few years ago. Used all the points, used all the miles, didn't have a lot of money left, right? Like, I'm trying to do stuff for free, I'm real cheap. And we went to a restaurant, and it was very clear early on, they were serving us the crappy food. And I got this dish, and it didn't taste right. And I should have stopped eating it, and I should have sent it back, but I was an American abroad, I didn't want to be obnoxious, so I ate the whole thing, and I spent the night over the toilet, getting sick. Human nature. Raise your hand and say, no, made a mistake, don't want to eat here, don't want to be here. This is the difficulty that we've seen from the Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. It is hard to admit you're wrong, but sometimes you don't put a ring on it. Sometimes you just have to sit there, glassy-eyed, having got hit by a truck on a Tuesday in Vegas, and go, you know what? That's why you don't split. You know, I shouldn't have split the eights, and I really shouldn't have come here. Like, the seventh and eighth cocktail were probably a mistake to walk into the Bellagio. And it's why sometimes, when you're staring down the barrel of a decision about a Tua Tagovailoa or a Trevor Lawrence or a Kyler Murray, I think the easier examples, and you kind of know deep in your heart this isn't going to work, but you're afraid and you're going to be mocked by the media, and what if you get it wrong and they go and they become Baker Mayfield somewhere else? You have to have the courage and the guts to just go, you know what? I was wrong and I got to move on. Because the end result is waking up in 2025 with a Tua Tagovailoa who can't throw the football, who's falling apart as a leader, who has literally humiliated himself in the Dolphins every time he steps in front of a microphone. the worst contracts in the National Football League are the contracts that could have been avoided. And the most difficult decision in the National Football League, right? It's easy to say, break up with the girl you've been dating for 5 years. I did say that to somebody that works at this place, though, and it works out really well for him. It's easy to say, I'm in Vegas, just stop gambling, even though you have 3 days to go, and just be miserable. It's easy to say, don't sign Tua to an extension, don't sign Kyler to an extension, don't sign Trevor to an extension. That's the job. That's the deal. And in this world, in the National Football League, in the myriad ways you're going to try to put together a plan, there's a lot of other things that go into a winning football team, the ability to navigate whether or not to extend quarterbacks after their initial rookie deal is turning into the most important decision of football. You're not usually going to have Patrick Mahomes, who turns out to be a top three quarterback of all time, in the second year of his deal. You're not going to often know. And look, there's risk in this. The Cleveland Browns had a situation like this, and we're like, Baker's not good enough. You're going to get it wrong sometimes. But the thing is, it is easier, even though it sounds crazy, to give away a great quarterback or let him walk and find another one than it is to navigate a contract like Deshaun Watson's or Tua Tagovailoa's or even Kyler Murray's. And the Dolphins are a prime example for every other GM that evaluating your sort of succeeding quarterback that you drafted on his initial deal and deciding whether or not to extend him may be the most important decision you make over a 3-, 4-, 5-year timeline in the NFL. That is now perhaps the most important thing a team can do. Not who they draft, but who they sign to a big boy deal when the time comes. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's also not tiddlywinks. Figure it out. 888-710-4476. I don't even know what tiddlywinks is. I think you drop a ball and you grab these little metal things. I don't know. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. All right. I was really looking forward to talking NBA in terms of Wembanyama was amazing. Oh my gosh, the Knicks won. They certainly couldn't have lost that game. The Milwaukee Bucks are 1-0. That's the high water mark for the year for Doc Rivers. All those things sounded pretty exciting. But we got to get into a dark cloud that's moving over to the NBA. There are arrests involving gambling and NBA players. I'll give you some insight into some of those guys next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Now, if it's Carl Anthony Towns for Giannis, goodbye. You can't let the door hit you on the way out. It was so bad. You can sell it. Sell it. It's okay. It's an honesty truth zone. There's death, taxes, and us being honest with each other and buy or sell.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Well, I'm going to be honest, and it's not even buy or sell. That's an hour from now. I'm going to be honest right now. On second listen, that was awesome. And shame on Ryan for selling it. Good morning. Bill Ryder with you. All right, so this morning, arrests began across the country. We don't have a ton of information. Terry Rozier was arrested in connection with allegations of some sort of gambling situation. Obviously, Miami Heat player who had been under a bit of a cloud of social media and legal uncertainty. Chauncey Billups, the head coach of the Trailblazers, arrested this morning. We've had a little more information that maybe it's a poker ring allegation he was involved in, according to reporting that's out there. And Damon Jones. And I'm going to tell you something about Damon Jones that I think many people maybe don't know in a moment. There is a press conference going on right now. The attorney general, no, excuse me, the head of the FBI, Kash Patel, is, which is unusual that person's in a press conference. That's why I got it wrong. Anyway, Kash Patel, who runs the FBI, is doing that press conference, as is a U.S. district attorney. And that U.S. district attorney, in talking about what's going on, gave us a little bit of information as it relates to this current situation.
First, I would like to talk about United States versus Earnest, the NBA basketball gambling case. The defendants in this case are Eric Earnest, Marvez Farley, Shane Hennon, De Niro Laster, Damon Jones, a former NBA player and coach, and Terry Rozier, a current NBA player. Other co-conspirators were previously charged for their roles in the scheme, including former NBA player Jontay Porter. Between December 2022 and March 2024, these defendants perpetrated a scheme to defraud by betting on inside, non-public information about NBA athletes and teams. The non-public information included when specific players would be sitting out future games, or when they would pull themselves out early for purported injuries or illnesses.
So, and this seems to confirm the reporting that the Chauncey Billups arrest, which an NBC Justice reporter reported this morning, is about allegations of a poker ring involving the mafia. That's not great. Are separate. And this obviously comes at a time when gambling has become a huge part of not just the NBA's strategic plan, but sports' strategic plan. If you go to the NBA, they have gambling as a part of their advertising, which is fine, right? You're allowed to gamble as a consumer. You're not, as an NBA player, and you're not allowed to use inside information in gambling. Just it's not legal, clearly, as you hear there. Also worth noting, just in the irony department, yesterday, the NCAA loosened the rules to, in effect, make it possible for college athletes to bet on professional sports, including sports they might play in a year or two or three. I don't know Terry Rozier at all, other than to be around him in a locker room. I've actually been around Chauncey Billups when he worked in TV. Damon Jones, and I'm not making any allegations here, I'm just telling you my connection to the guy. I actually spent time with Damon Jones 12 years ago when, let me pull the curtain back on how people like LeBron James operate, and there's nothing wrong with this, but LeBron James had the people around him when I was helping to launch Fox Sports 1. I didn't launch it as an executive. I was on the network. Asked me as a favor to set up an opportunity for Damon Jones to try out for TV. I'm looking at the emails right now with LeBron's main guy. And so I took Damon Jones to lunch with an executive, and then I emailed him later and said, hey, they want you to try out for this TV network. He obviously did not get that job. But my point is, Damon Jones is friends with LeBron James, and Chauncey Billups is friends with a ton of players, and Terry Rozier is friends with a lot of players. Jontay Porter is obviously the brother of Michael Porter Jr. And so the point is this: even the people who have done nothing wrong, the LeBron James, the Michael Porter Jr.'s, the entirety of the Portland Trailblazers organization, are going to be severely impacted by this. Because for those of you that have family members, or in my case, a good friend, have severe gambling problems, you know that it is a disease and a problem that can wreak havoc on a home, on a family, on a friendship circle. It is going to wreak havoc on the NBA. That doesn't make it the NBA's fault. It's not my fault that a close friend showed up at my door years ago begging me for $5,000 in cash immediately because he was in trouble. It's not LeBron James' fault that his friend or former friend Damon Jones did this. It's not Michael Porter Jr.'s fault that his brother made a terrible mistake. It doesn't change the pain that those people are going to go through. And it doesn't change the pain the NBA is about to go through. This is going to be a vicious problem for the league. And the thing is, I think we've had this conversation. You probably had it with people wherever you're listening, that when you talk sports, how does the NFL protect against gambling, cheating problems? We're talking gambling problems. How does the NBA protect against this? How do leagues that have teams in Vegas protect against this? You can't. Any more than if you have a bunch of brothers, sisters, a mom and a dad, a wife, siblings, cousins, if you have a family, how do you protect against alcoholism or gambling problems in the entirety of your family? You can't. You can't. You hope for the best. How does Adam Silver protect against gambling problems in his league? You can't. You hope for the best, except for this. And this is a hard thing to learn in life, is when people that you love have these problems and they cross a line where they're starting to destroy or damage family, work, friendship circle, you got to move on. You got to cut them loose. You have to at least not enable them, right? I know these things are complicated. I'm not sure, and I don't know, that Adam Silver and the NBA has been particularly impressive in doing this. It certainly seems, from the outside looking in, I need more information, you need more information, we all need more information. There's a press conference going on right now, we just played a clip of, this is early days. But the NBA was not unaware of what was going on with Terry Rozier. There was something there. The NBA is not unaware of some other names that have been connected to possible allegations of gambling. And it sure seems like, from where I'm sitting, which is a place without all the information, that maybe Adam Silver and the NBA were more concerned about preserving the image of their league, the perception of their league, rather than the reality. And I'll use another analogy. As someone, like a lot of us, who have loved ones and family members and friends who have gone through some demons, sometimes it's better to take care of your house and let the outside world judge it than to let there be a facade, everything is perfect, so that people that are on the outside think everything is fine and have the inside fall apart. Sometimes you, and I would argue all the time, but sometimes you just got to go, I don't give a bleep what the neighbors or the other people think. I got it. This is what's best for me and my family. I got to cut this guy off. And if he's going to yell at me at my place of work, that's what's going to happen. I love this person, but they can't be around my wife or my kids right now because of what they're dealing with, because it's not safe. And if that means he comes to the house screaming drunk and the neighbors think there's something wrong with me, that is what it is. Adam Silver is going to have to deal with some real world big boy problems since gambling is a part of this league now. It is. And that's going to lead to more situations like this. It is. And at least for me, I'm not mad at the NBA that they have to deal with gambling problems within their NBA family. But it certainly feels like the way they've managed those problems as they've come up have been wildly, wildly unimpressive. And much more concerned about the image than the reality. As I'm telling you this, the press conference involving a U.S. attorney, a U.S. district attorney, and the director of the FBI is outlining how these players allegedly used inside information to gamble. And again, when I'm gambling, I'm betting 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 bucks, maybe 50 bucks. I know some of you bet more. I got a colleague I used to work with at CBS Sports who would literally bet $500, $1,000 a game. And he would send me the bet slips. And I would think two things. I hope you win. And what are they paying you over at CBS Sports that you can do this? So I'm not betting a lot of money. But I like to gamble. And I learned early on, you have to be responsible in how you gamble. I like gambling. Got to be responsible. But for those people that are really, like if I lose 5 or 10 or 50, I don't care. It's fine. I mean, I don't love it because I'm competitive, but it's not the end of the world for me. But the more money people bet, the more they get into that, the more they get serious about it, right? Like take Nick Costos, who's an amazing gambling expert. I listen to Nick's show. I think Nick's great and funny and talented, and I like to gamble. And I'm listening to sort of a casual gambling sports fan and a fan of Nick Costos. There are people that I know who bet $500,000 a game and do it responsibly within, I guess, their means and how they operate, and they have a... You know, they have a gambling fund, great. And they listen to Nick because Nick can also do the insiders thing, right? He is a professional gambler in terms of like what he knows. And at that level of gambling, information is everything. If you listen to Nick Costos, he breaks down everything. He looks at injury reports. He's talking to people like me on the NBA. He knows. But you know what Nick doesn't know? He doesn't know when this linebacker is going to sit out before everybody else. He doesn't know whether or not a point guard is actually in a fight with his girlfriend and he's going to miss the next game because something's going on. That Nick will tell you, and I don't want to speak for Nick, but like Nick will tell you, look at the, in various sports, look at the reports that are required. They're required because of gambling, by the way, for legal reasons. Look at the injury reports that come out. When we have him on to talk NFL gambling, he'll be like, well, I can't answer that right now. Bill, I don't really know the line there because I'm waiting to see the injury report. If you are, and it's allegations, but if you're Terry Rozier or you're Jonte Porter or you're Damon Jones, as a player or coach, and you know inside information, and you're gambling with that on your own sport, that is damaging. That is a problem. That's not okay. And so if the NBA can protect their image, be like, oh, you know, we looked into it, and Terry didn't gamble on the Heat. That's not all that we're talking about, and you know it. So my suggestion to Adam Silver in a very difficult time is, I don't think this analogy is that on the nose. I think it's real. You love your sport. You're trying to protect your sport. But if you protect the way people view you rather than the actual thing they're viewing, things are going to go very, very badly. Protect the game and things will work out. Worry about how people view the game. That's different. Not necessarily. If you got to go out and say, we did an investigation, we can't really prove A, B, and C, but there's enough here that Terry Rozier has been taken out of the game, and we're not going to allow Damon Jones around, and John, then you can get ahead of this stuff. And you'll also have people believe you more as stuff comes up. But if you're looking for reasons to just say, everything's fine here, nothing to see here, then that encourages other people out there who might be in the sport struggling with gambling problems, doing things they shouldn't, to go, all right, I see, all right, they don't want to know. I'm good. I'll keep going. All right, this is a developing story. We'll keep giving information on it as it happens. It's obviously a big deal. We don't know the levels to which this is going to go or not go in different directions, but I wanted to hit it and talk about it because I do think it's important. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Let's do, man, we're going to go from from Tua's a jokester and a mistake to real heavy stuff to would you rather, light and fun. Would you rather coming up after a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This Sports Flash is sponsored by Prize Picks. Football's heating up and basketball's back. So download the Prize Picks app and use code PRIMETIME and get $50 in bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. As Bill just mentioned, law enforcement officials are still laying out the details of what's two separate indictments right now in Brooklyn. This was FBI Director Cash Patel.
This is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years. The FBI led a coordinated takedown across 11 states to arrest over 30 individuals today responsible for this case, which is very much ongoing.
Those arrests include Blazers head coach Chauncey Billups, Heat guard Terry Rozier, and former player Damon Jones. Billups allegedly part of illegal rigged poker games. Rozier has been accused of playing poorly, so certain prop bets on him would hit. And Jones is allegedly involved in both schemes. All of this happening the morning after the first full night of the new NBA season. Cooper Flagg debuted with just 10 points. His Mavericks, a 125-92 loser at home to the Spurs, who got 40 from Victor Wembanyama. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Did talk about what it was like yesterday in Oklahoma City with the banner going up and that championship being celebrated as well as deserved to be so. I'm going to lean into making fun of me for the rejoins. I just said, as well, it was deserved to be so. I don't even know what that means. You should cut that and then play it with a void of silence.
That leaves a void of silence.
I just toed that thing.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
I'm an idiot. That was very funny, though. Good job, Ryan Hickey. Good morning. Got you a little late today. What did I say there? I don't remember. What was that mealy
as
mouth?
As well as it should be, as well as it should have, as well as it should be,
as well as it should be deserved. I think I threw a deserved in there. It didn't make sense.
So, yeah,
well as it should be is the definition of deserved, Bill. You don't need to say. All right. I'm an idiot. All right. So we will keep you updated, of course, on this gambling thing, this situation as we know more. Thank you for being here and a part of the program on the Infinity Sports Network, Free Odyssey app. We appreciate you very much. I want to take a phone call before we get to this segment just to sort of put, not a bow on, but continue this conversation on the allegations involving gambling and insider information in the NBA with these arrests of Chauncey Billups. And that's a separate thing, apparently. And Terry Rozier and Damon Jones this morning. Let's go out to Pennsylvania. Sam is on the line. Sam, what is up, buddy? You are on Writer Than You.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan of the show. Something needs to be said about Adam Silver. I mean, every time I watch football on Sunday or basketball during the week, you see the Kevin Hart and LeBron James DraftKings commercial. And, I mean, if LeBron's still the face of the NBA, that's kind of absurd that he's even allowed to be paid by DraftKings as a sponsor. It's just like a double-edged sword or even like a slippery slope. That'd be almost like the NFL letting Mahomes or the MLB letting Ohtani be the DraftKings spokesman. So I think that's all kind of messed up, and maybe Adam Silver should just step down and fall on the sword to try to save face.
Interesting. Sam, thanks for the call. And thank you for reminding me and reminding all of us that Shohei Ohtani has not been untouched by the ugliness of gambling problems and the allegations of his interpreter who went to prison for this, taking money from Shohei to meet gambling debts. You're not wrong that it is it's not a great look, LeBron out there selling gambling problems. I'm of two minds here because people gamble, and people are going to gamble whether you admit it or don't admit it. I think that I would not need Adam Silver to resign just yet, for me. But I do need Adam Silver to get his arms around the fact that you have embraced this thing. Okay, you got to confront it head on when there's bad stuff going on. You got to be aggressive in that confrontation. And you probably need to tell your players, I'm going to err on the side of severe enforcement. Remember, the NBA is a business. It's not a court of law. I don't know, wherever you work, right? I work for Odyssey. So I don't know, if I was a jerk to a waitress and it was caught on, you know, video, me being a real jerk face, can I go to jail for that? No. Can honestly be like, say, you know what, Ryder, like, that doesn't represent us very well. You're out of here. Of course they can. Those are different things. And so Adam Silver is well within his rights to say to NBA players, I'm not talking burden approved to put you in jail. That ain't me. That's the FBI. That's the Justice Department. I'm talking, do you damage the reputation of the NBA and endanger what we're building? And I, Adam Silver, I'm gonna err on the side of being real aggressive here. So you can gamble on NCAA tournaments. You can gamble in Vegas. You can. I wouldn't do it. Because if I get a whiff of anything, I'm coming down hard on the possibility of it. Right? That's, Sam, where I would need Adam Silver to go. You don't have to prove Terry Rozier did something if you're the NBA to say this isn't a problem for us and you can't play. The same way, Odyssey's burden of what a proof is different to get rid of me or anyone than it is, you know, the Justice Department putting Bill Ryder in prison or any of my employers that I've had over the years, right? So, I mean, I had a contract in TV once that just an arrest for DUI and my contract could be null and void because of the perception of it. Now, you should never drink and drive. I'm not saying you should, but an arrest for DUI does not mean you have suddenly been convicted of a crime, right? Different standards for work versus the government coming after you. And I'm with you on this, Sam. Adam Silver's standard needs to be a lot higher and a lot more ferocious when there's even a whiff of a problem of a concern about gambling involving his players or coaches or anyone in his orbit. Great call. Thank you for the perspective. Let's do a little Would You Rather.
It's time for Would You Rather on Writer Than You.
Let's start with that, Bill. Chauncey Billups, among other players, arrested. His case for illegal gambling, some rigged poker games. If you were to be arrested,
ugh.
Would you rather?
It's a pretty daddy question.
Yeah, exactly right. I know you've talked about it, so maybe this is your subtle way of wanting kind of more of those crazy questions. So we're going to include it here.
Okay.
If you were to be arrested, would you rather be arrested for participating in an illegal gambling game, illegal poker game, or get arrested for robbery?
What a terrible question. I don't want to be arrested.
Right, but you are in this
if
situation.
If Warren was going to cheat on you, would you rather she cheat on you with this guy or this guy? You're just like, I don't want to know.
But the game is would you rather. You play
all
the
right.
game.
What's
you
my,
want
what's,
these
all
bad
right, I'll
situations.
Play the game. What's the... You're about as bad at running games as Adam Silver right now. What are my choices? Gambling operation versus robbery?
Yeah, robbery.
Is it armed robbery?
Armed robbery.
I mean, I guess gambling operation because I'm not hurting anybody.
Let me throw this thought by you. If you're going
to
get arrested,
do you have to?
Don't you want to kind of make it worth it? Like,
no.
I don't know. Like, participating in an illegal gambling ring kind of feels like cheap. Like, if I'm going to jail for 4 years, you know what? I may as well break in. I may as well, you know, get a little thrill.
I don't want to.
You don't have to shoot anyone in an armed robbery. You're breaking into the house. You're breaking into a. I mean, it could be a bank.
You okay, man?
I'm okay. I'm just trying to get your. You know,
everything. Good.
It's basically kind of like one of those. Don't you want to make it worth it? If you're going to get a, if
no,
you're a manager in a baseball game and you get tossed, do you just turn your back, or you want to just go out there and yell at the umpire, kick some dirt, throw a get your money's worth.
I disavow any acceptance of this question, but I'll answer nonetheless. I will also say this to you, Ryan. If I am running an illegal gambling operation, I'm probably going to be okay. If I'm an idiot breaking into somebody's house with a weapon, they might shoot me, rightfully so. So
you're not getting shot in this scenario. You're not shooting anyone.
I don't know that. I got it. I've already been
guaranteeing it.
Okay, you're guaranteeing my safety. what I'd like to do is go back in time and make better choices in my life.
Okay, that's fair.
In this scenario. Wow.
Speaking of better choice, let's go here.
Talk to me. Talk
so Joe
me.
Flacco, now right traded to the Bengals, is living by himself. His family's in New Jersey. And so he did talk about yesterday at the media about maybe some of the perks, if you will, about living by yourself. Take a listen.
Go sit at a restaurant by myself and realize that, man, that's pretty enjoyable to do. After there's not too many situations. I tell people all the time, I mean, I used to see guys sitting at a bar by themselves or, you know, just sitting by themselves eating and grabbing a little meal. And I'm like, man, I feel so bad for that guy. Like, you almost want to go join him. And now I realize, like, that dude was in heaven.
So, Bill, would you...
That's a great clip, dude.
Would you rather sit at a bar by yourself or go to a movie by yourself?
Oh, man. So, I've talked about this. I've been judged. I'm all about this stuff. In fact, if I can get to LAX after the show in time. I'm looking forward to just sitting at a bar and just having a coffee or a bite to eat. Good question. I'll go at a bar by myself because I will sit at a restaurant bar by myself and I'll watch a movie. I remember once I was in Waco at a busy bar, at a bar, people everywhere, and I had my laptop open and I was watching Justified. And a drunk guy in Waco goes, "Why are you watching TV?" And I go, "Oh, man, this is good." He's like, "Oh, it's Justified. It's good." Stumbled off. I can have both in this scenario. What are you doing? Oh, Raylan Givens. It's a true story.
That is funny. Also, is this? How about this? Okay. L.A. Chargers tight end, Aronde Gadsden II, he was benched by his father in his fantasy football league last week. What did Gadsden do? 164 yards and a touchdown on 7 catches. So would you rather get benched by your own father and ball out or struggle, but your dad still keeps you in the lineup because he believes in you?
Oh, man. The first one. Sorry, Papa.
More like, sorry, son, you suck. I gotta play someone else.
That would be a hell of a Thanksgiving conversation.
Props to the dad for admitting it. I would keep that a secret.
Very funny.
You are coming to New York this weekend, Bill.
I am.
Would you rather spend 24 hours in Times Square or Hollywood Boulevard?
That's funny. Henry, my son, just asked me yesterday what I think of Hollywood. Would I rather spend in Times Square or Hollywood Boulevard? Well, I got to remember Hollywood Boulevard, but I'd rather spend it in Hollywood if Musso and Franks is in that zone. I think it is. It's an amazing, amazing restaurant in Hollywood that I've only gone to 3 times because it's 15 miles from my house, so it's 3 hours away. Love that place. But I don't... Hollywood Boulevard... I'm going to go the main strip of Hollywood. I'm going
to
go with that.
I'm more asking, I'm just trying to find the biggest tourist trap in LA.
Is there a Hollywood Boulevard? I don't even know. Is that a thing?
Well, where's the Walk of Star or the Stars?
I don't know.
Whatever they call it, the Walk of
Star. I just drive down there. I don't memorize the street.
I figured that was kind of probably the biggest tourist trap in LA. I mean, LA's very spread out, so it's kind of tough.
Oh, yeah, there is a Hollywood Boulevard. You're right. No, you're not wrong.
Have a comp for Times Square.
Yeah, but I think
a lot
think
of tourists showing in one place.
I don't like Times Square. You can find good food and stuff to do in Hollywood, Hollywood Boulevard. Times Square, I'm actually staying at Times Square the next few days, which I never do.
Wait, what?
My boys are
you
staying
there. You hate Times Square and where I are hate you staying it in Times Square?
I know. My boys from high school, one of them's never been to New York. I tried to steer them to different hotels. Like, let's go to Chelsea. And they're like, we found a great hotel in Times Square.
Oh, no.
I know.
Stay away from
Would I rather home. Have my current friends or new friends? I hope they're not listening. Leaning toward new friends. What are we doing? You gotta go to Musso and Frank sometime, though. That place is absolutely amazing. You know what else is amazing? It is on Hollywood Boulevard. Good call by you. You know what else is amazing? Your own Weitzman's new book, and he's gonna talk to us about it next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right. Good morning. Welcome into the show. We are coast to coast all the time, and I'm gonna take that to another level. Today, the show is live from Los Angeles. Tomorrow. The show will be live from New York City. Ryan Hickey, the executive producer of the program, is going to have to pull some magic with those fingers on the board in New York and have the guy be like, live from New York. Do we have a live from New York? I don't know if we do, but we're going to have a New York show tomorrow. I'm really excited. Love being in the office. Going to get to see everybody, see Ryan in person. So that'll be happening mañana. Looking forward to that. We will do... in about 20 minutes, buy or sell. I know we need to get to tonight's Thursday night football game. Just a lot going on. A lot going on from the NBA gambling situation. Hell, we haven't talked at all. I've hardly mentioned, I have a little bit, that there were a full slate of games last night. We had the opening night a couple nights ago with 2 games. They're interesting games, largely in a really good game between the Rockets and the Thunder. Last night was the full slate, was the full deal, was the whole enchilada. Really interesting start to the season. We'll get to Victor Wembanyama, what he was able to do, what he was about, a lot of stuff coming up on the show. Phone number 888-710-4ISN, the old X sports writer, sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Ryan_Hickey, and the number 3. So... and we'll of course keep you updated on this NBA gambling thing as it happens and as we learn more. It is going to be a difficult year for the Los Angeles Lakers. First of all, I could be wrong. I don't think that they're good enough to compete at the level that is the expectation when you have either Luka or LeBron James, let alone both of those guys. But also, we're just entering the end of LeBron's time, right? He is past his 40s. He's one of the great players in the history of the sport. He is, as someone who covered him, I can tell you, he's a complicated guy. And if, like me, you're interested in LeBron, I find him fascinating, and you want real insight, because LeBron, and this is not a put-down, it's just a fact. I know LeBron's people get pissed off. I've never met anybody that I've covered in sports, maybe that I've covered, and I covered Bill Clinton in a different life, who's as effective at managing and manipulating the media. And by the way, that's good. That's fine. If that's your job, like, go for it. So if you want to pierce that and get past that and get some real talk and some real truth and some real insight on LeBron James, which is hard to find because he's pretty good at stopping that, there's a book out, A Hollywood Ending, The Dreams and Drama of the LeBron Lakers by Yaron Weitzman. By the way, it's such a great name. The Dreams and Drama of the LeBron Lakers is also just absolutely accurate. Go find this book. Go get it wherever you get, buy, purchase, order your books, in person, Amazon, all those places. And we're lucky because Yaron is here on the show right now. Mr. Weitzman, good morning and congratulations on the book. Is it just a relief when this thing is done?
What's up, Bill? Yeah, it's pretty nice. And I'm going to thank Cash Patel for the first time ever, and that he delayed a couple days before putting out those indictments. He gave me a couple days here, so that's good. But yeah, that was very exciting.
So there's a lot. So I haven't finished yet. I love it so far. It's really good. There's a lot of things that are in there as I'm going through it. And some of it, obviously, is books of this quality tend to do. It's starting to make some news. And so I just want to jump to one of the things people have sort of pulled out of it. And that is your really interesting reporting on LeBron and Westbrook and Will Smith and this sort of vibe. And in the book, it's nuance of a lack of authenticity sometimes from LeBron James. For people that missed this, what was behind the problems of the divorce between LeBron and the ill-fated Westbrook experiment?
Sure, and then I have and we'll go on to what that means also. So basically, Westbrook is year two there. Westbrook's first year, everyone, if you're an NBA fan, you'll remember, was an abject disaster, right? Year two, Darvin Ham's first year, the Lakers start off slow, and there's a film session. And then Lakers do this thing what they call the Genius Series. They bring in, it's very Lakers, they bring in like famous people from outside of sports, The Rock, Kendrick Lamar, whatever. So Will Smith is coming in that day, and I'll speed through her. Basically, Darvin Ham says, I'm going to go get Will Smith. He goes out. LeBron is just frustrated. He goes, I'm out of here. You guys got this. AD follows him, and Westbrook's like, wait, are we all going? Patrick Beverly basically tells him, no, you don't understand. They want a title. We didn't. We have to stay. Ends up, Darvin Ham gets them, brings them all back. Will Smith comes in, and he talks, and 30 minutes are up. And after, and again, Will Smith talking, and he goes, any questions? And one hand goes up again and again and again and again, and it's LeBron. And as this is happening, Westbrook is sitting there, and teammates and people in the room see him seizing. Like he described to me that he's, just picking at a bowl of fruit angrily, and you can see the steam coming out from his, coming out from his ears. And he says to a teammate later, I hate that fake bleep. And then it's funny because, the Lakers put out a picture that day of the team with with Will Smith. And if you look at it, you can see, at the time, it got picked up a little bit that Westbrook was not smiling. But there's a reason for that. Like, you can see him scowling. Now, what's fascinating to me is that, and part of this is Westbrook was kind of frustrated with the way LeBron would back him, say, I want Russ to be Russ, but then wanted the Lakers to trade for Kyrie, and the only way the Lakers could trade for Kyrie was by giving up Russell Westbrook, right? And things like that. So it was very clear LeBron didn't necessarily have his back, and Russ was frustrated by LeBron kind of pretending he did. What's fascinating to me, and I saw this in my mentions, and I saw this in the time since, and even there, the idea, and LeBron, you can, there are parts of him that are inauthentic, right? And some of it, there's been posing over the years. We can talk about that. It's a separate thing. The idea that the Westbrook experience in L.A. did not go well, that Russ was in the right and not LeBron, and it didn't go well because LeBron might not have had his back fully, is just not connected to reality, right? It went poorly because Westbrook was awful on the court and showed no desire, even attempting to fit in or alter his game to fit in with these guys around him. And the fact that even this, I've seen since the story got picked up, the amount of people going yeah, get him, Russ, Team Russ, LeBron's a phony. It's, to me, so fascinating and such a microcosm of the way people feel about LeBron, and especially in L.A., just there's a lack of connection there. And it's a great example where, LeBron's not, and maybe in the Will Smith moment, whatever he's in the wrong, in the greater picture of the LeBron-Westbrook Lakers, LeBron was not in the wrong there, and yet people are still ready to blame him,
outside of Bill Clinton, maybe, I don't think I've ever known and covered a more nuanced person who matters. And we don't do nuance in America anymore, right? That's not a it's not just sports talk radio. We don't do nuance. The book is nuanced, and it's great, and it's part of what I love in reading it so far. And I certainly, and wherever you're listening, by the way, you should go get this: A Hollywood Ending: The Dreams and Drama of the LeBron Lakers by Yaron Weitzman, who's with us right now on the show. Yaron, one of the things that just struck me is, and I haven't covered LeBron day to day in a long time, but I have covered him day to day. And I've dealt with Adam Mendelsohn a lot, and I've dealt with Rich Paul a lot, and I've dealt with LeBron to the degree you kind of do, and I've had sort of an up-and-down situation with LeBron. He's hard to cover. Like, they are – it's a really effective apparatus around him. How was the process for you – because there's some great reporting here – of just trying to report a LeBron James book that got past whatever LeBron wants out there and whatever the LeBron haters want out there? Because – people have strong reactions to LeBron, including the people that you talk to when you're trying to flush out what's going on with the guy.
I like being to the second part because I think that's a key, right? I get asked the first part a lot, and that the second part of that, you have to, yeah, like, understand that LeBron is a polarizing figure, and, like, just because someone gives me a quote-unquote juicy story of the time LeBron was a jerk, whatever, and then, like, you have to verify that also, and that also, those often are not, don't check out either, right? So that's definitely part of it, right? Everyone's got strong opinions of him. Yeah, listen, the way it works is, like, I approached LeBron and his Adam Mendelsohn, his communications guy. And one of the things LeBron, one of his superpowers, I believe, one of his top skills and his whole group is they are excellent at bringing in experts around them to execute their vision, right? And it's a phrase that you, like Rich Paul said this, know what I don't know. And Adam Mendelsohn is a great example. He works communications for Arnold Schwarzenegger in the government. Just he's really good at what he does. And, yep. And I say that as a compliment. It doesn't mean manipulation. It means even, like, in 2020, when they want to do all this good stuff around voting rights, like executing that vision, right, and bringing in experts around that. So the way it works, I approach LeBron, and he says, you know, cool, talk to Adam. And Adam Mendelsohn was aware of the book. They don't participate, which is they're right. Honestly, I get it. Like, why would he give it? At this point, he's reached a point where, like, he's gonna tell a story on Netflix. Like, why would he give it to me, right? And they have cameras following him around for years already and things like that. There'll be some documentaries, I'm sure. So it just becomes, like, I just call everybody. I know it sounds like a basic answer. I just, like, reach out to everybody. It's a numbers game. So you figure if you reach out to 1,000 people, which sounds crazy, but, like, if you reach out to 1,000 people who have had some touch point here, and you're open to every conversation, and you ask every person when you get off the phone, hey, who else would be good to talk to? You start stacking up enough things. Then you get a little information. You can kind of leverage that and say, hey, I want to verify this with somebody. You kind of go, you know, move closer and closer to the source. But that's kind of, it sounds simple, but that's kind of how I started, how I
Yaron, I'm never mad at any powerful figure for managing their reputation, their business world effectively, right? I mean, and by the way, Adam Mendelsohn, very good at his job. You know, it was in politics, also ran the Republican National Convention, I think, when it was in Minnesota. You're right. LeBron surrounds himself with really impressive people and empowers people from his life that he's known for a long time, and good for him. I mean, it's an operation and it's an impressive one. Wherever you're listening, whether you like LeBron or not, the guy's an impressive dude and the people around him are impressive. And to do that on behalf of himself totally makes sense. It's interesting, and I don't know your view on this, but I find it interesting that he can also do the same thing for his son, Bronny, who we have learned so far is not an NBA-level player at the level that maybe we would think, given the fact he carried the burden and maybe the blessing of that name. It's probably both. To what degree in the reporting of the book did you find that LeBron's apparatus was able to help or hurt Bronny's career?
I mean, I think it just helped. The Bronny thing I find so interesting, right? Cause I'm a parent, and it would seem to me the way they push Bronny in, like, and the way they put, and when LeBron, like, would tweet out, or I think he tweeted out something about Bronny in a mock draft. I don't remember what, or that Bronny's better than players, or that might have been overheard.
I'm looking at it right now in your book. Yeah. Bronny definitely better than some of these cats I've been watching on League Pass today. Yeah,
like that's to me would seem unfair on that part, right? But there's a buck coming here. Unfair and bad parenting, which I would don't like but saying that, but whatever. But then the counter I always do is anyone who talks about Bronny, literally anybody, and this means from high school going, and I call people reporters who covered him at the time, like all of it. What a great kid. What a level-headed kid. All like amazing. They love him. If you speak to him at all, like there was that one of the few media groups he did before being drafted at the NBA Combine. He spoke to the media, which was really the first time. And like, you could see it. He even said something about LeBron, not liking to be compared to, I forget what he said, but he was kind of like poking fun at his dad. And just so it's like, I want to criticize LeBron on some of that stuff, but then it's like, I don't know, man, the proof's in the pudding. The kid seems to be a great kid, so I guess his parenting, like, raising a kid in that world would seem to be impossible, and he seems to have succeeded at it. I should say he and his wife, Savannah. So, like, I guess they know what they're doing on that, right? Does that make sense what I'm saying? So,
no, it does,
in terms of that, yeah.
And Bronny's a great kid. I live in Manhattan Beach, California, with a bunch of alpha CEOs and athletes, and a lot of them are great parents who, you know, if you watch them with their kids at the soccer game, or like you can be both. You can be a great parent, and you can also be a helicopter parent who needs to back the hell off.
Correct. So, and listen, there's no doubt, like, the Lakers drafted, if LeBron's not on the team, Bronny's not there, right? There's no doubt on that, right? And I, my take on this has always been not even like the, well, nepotism happens everywhere take, whatever. To me, it's more of a testament of LeBron's greatness that if the reason he was able to make history, and it's become the first father-son duo is, yes, because he forced it, but why was he able to force it? Because he's the first player at that age who is still good enough to have power over a team, or where it becomes, where the team, it's worth it to them to make that player happy, right? That's the difference, and that's what made this happen, and that's a testament to LeBron, the greatness, and his longevity, and all the things he does to keep that going.
Yaron Weitzman here on the show. I'm Bill Ryder. He is the author of A Hollywood Ending, The Dreams and Drama of the LeBron Lakers. It is really interesting. It is, as Yaron is wont to do, very well written. And wherever you're listening, I would respectfully suggest you should buy it, get it on the shelf, read it, give it as a gift to someone who's a fan of sports, the NBA, LeBron, who doesn't like LeBron. It's a really, really good read. Yaron, when you're doing these sort of books, I imagine you know the figure pretty well from a distance, if not closer. You're doing massive amounts of research. You're flushing out things that obviously you're chasing. You're a LeBron expert. Is there anything that jumps out to you that just really surprised you, that in the course of your reporting surprised you that you found out?
I would say on a micro scale, some of the details, like the way he was not a good teammate when he first got there that first year in LA, right? Like, he just was not – I have stories about him sort of – he missed his first team event. It seemed like he joined a team that was young, and he said in public he knew it and he was okay with it, but very clearly early on he wasn't. Like, the Anthony Davis – forcing the Anthony Davis negotiations and trying to push that, like, those are the public examples, but there are many more kind of smaller examples of just his teammates feeling like, this guy's not with us. So that surprised me. The evolution has also surprised me. I've been thinking a lot about this with the Hennessy ad recently. So, like, you have the Hennessy ad and whatever. Everyone can have their own opinion. My thought on it was, guys want to cash out. Like, that's fine. I have no problem. It's strange. And that's the word I've come to with LeBron a lot. A lot of his stuff confuses me, and it's strange. Like, it's strange for me that the person who, and I have all this in my reporting in the book, like, was going to be known for the ushering in player empowerment era, and we run our own businesses, and we're our own bosses, whether it's our own agency or Hollywood, and we don't take pay cuts anymore. And you know what? We're even going to dip our toes into the political waters, and especially around 2020, and try to be a thought leader and leaders on those end. And this is what we're known for. And then somehow, and usually guys like evolve and grow as they get older. And he seems to be still backsliding. So you have the Hennessy ad. And it's not just that he does this commercial, but it's that he uses his ability with a teaser tweet. That's the thing that stands out to me. So he uses his ability to sort of capture the zeitgeist and leverage his fame into attention. And for the purpose of having a brand that's not his, sell some booze, right? And to me, that's fine, but it just breaks from, like, a lot of the stuff we saw on him when he first coming to LA and early on, right? And it's a weird evolution to me. So, like, to answer your question, just, like, tracing that, and I find him hard to understand as a person. He, like, again, I'm repeating, he confuses me. He really does. And
he's
complicated. I find that interesting.
Yeah, me too. He is interesting. Yaron Weitzman here on the show. Let me end here with a super unfair question to you. I'm just giving you a heads up, it's unfair. But I get this unfair question constantly. Yeah, let's do it. And here's a little context. I've known LeBron since 2010. He hated me, then he liked me. He called me a liar on social media, I don't know, 6 months ago. He graciously did a 30 or 40 minute sit down interview when I worked at a TV network, Fox Sports One, when they launched. I've had dinners with his, like, I know him well. And people who know me personally or professionally know me in the context of LeBron treated you really well or LeBron treated you really badly. And I get asked all the time, do you like LeBron James? all the time. I got asked 2 days ago playing tennis with somebody. And I said I did. And I think there's some, you know, there's politics for people involved too. But the guy had just seen this tweet, had just seen it, even though, and it goes, how can you? And I said, I do, but he's complicated. I know people who cover him who like him. I know people who cover him who pretend to like him in their coverage who hate him. He is a polarizing figure. After the reporting you've done, do you like LeBron James?
do I like him? I don't know. I don't really. I'm going to cop out a little bit. Like
you are, huh?
I like him.
Well,
I'm
going
to cop out.
You
I
have
like
insight.
I don't know. We'll hear.
Whoa. You have insight into one of the most important figures in the history of sports on a level that few people do, and people love and hate this guy. And I'm curious on the spectrum where you come down, having dove into his life.
So, one part is I've literally spoken to him, like, again, I've spoken to him for maybe 60 seconds, maybe, in my entire life, right? And just, I told him about the book, we had now two sentences, and then I was part of three other reporters talking to him about, like, football one morning in Houston, one time I was around the team. Like, that was literally the extension of my conversations with LeBron, because I felt, I didn't want to, you know, he made it clear to go through his guys, and I did. Do I like it? I don't know, man. I'm copying out. It's not like I don't think about liking or not. Like I don't think that's for me. I'm gonna go back to the previous answer. Some of the stuff surprised me a little bit. I think he's I think we're seeing the guard being let down a little bit in recent years. Some of his tweets are a little raw. Some of the messages. He was on this podcast the other day. I saw this. He was on this podcast like with Savannah, some random podcast. We were talking about dating and women with NBA play. I forgot. It was really random. So I think. It's kind of a cop, but I think we're going to start seeing. It seems like he's not interested in managing the image as much as he used to be. Mm. Maybe I'm wrong there. Again, he's complicated. He's really complicated. There's some things I find annoying. Like I remember talking to somebody and being like, "What's with all the passive aggressive?" Someone close to him. What's with all the passive aggressive stuff? Like you're a 40-year-old, loaded rich man who can do whatever he wants. Like just like say what you want and do it. And the person was saying, "No, I like laughing. Yeah, I agree. Like that stuff, I find." Really silly. But by the way, it's not him. Like I say, it's him about Giannis, right? Like you're 30 years old and, you know, do you want to stay in Milwaukee? Stay. If not, go. Nobody cares. Just make a decision, right? So yeah. That's all these guys. Although I guess he's kind of the king of that. So some of that, but then there's all the stuff I really respect. Like the dude's been under this intense spotlight since he was 17 years old. And the only mistake he's made was a free agency special that like gave charity. And I know that's a funny way to spin it. And like, I'm doing that purposely, but so like, yeah, he's different, and like I think the stuff around 2020 was great, a lot of it. I also think like when he was trying to position himself as a thought leader, that's not him, right? And that's okay, by the way. Like I think it's kind of been smart to pull back on that stuff a little bit. So I think he's complicated, and he's trying and has tried to navigate the spotlight and what that means and how to balance that. And sometimes he succeeds, and sometimes he fails.
It's a totally unfair question. I told you up front. It 100% is.
Your power to you.
Yeah, no, I get asked all the time. And so I was just interested in your answer. And wherever you're listening, I'm telling you, read this book. I'm not through it yet, but it's great so far. Read this book because it is nuanced. It is complicated. It gets beyond whatever I can say on the radio or somebody's going to write in a tweet or even write in an article. And wherever you're listening, it'll give you a broader picture of who LeBron James is. And he is, as your own said and as reported, he is really interesting. Your own, congratulations, dude. I've never written a book, but I've had anxiety just thinking about the process. So congrats on getting it done. It's outstanding. I know it's a busy day. And thanks for making time to talk about a Hollywood ending, the dreams and drama of the LeBron Lakers.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Be good, pal. Congrats. Yaron Weitzman on the show. And again, you love LeBron, you hate LeBron. The book is really interesting. And to Yaron's credit, by the way, because it's nuanced, right? There's stuff in here where you read it and you go, wow, what a great guy. And then you flip a little bit and you go, this guy's the worst. Human beings are complicated. LeBron is certainly complicated and the book's worth your time. What's not complicated is that buy or sell is amazing, even when we have to go fast because I went too long. And that's next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I know what it's like to feel that, and I didn't want to do that to you because I'm a good person. Bye, I'm the best.
Sell.
Remember, this is an honest buy or sell. You
I
said
understand.
That early on.
It was the right answer. It was definitely the correct answer.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. This honest portion of the program is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Let's go. Honesty, no lies, Ryan. Are we doing no contacts all the way through, or are we just, what are you doing? This is your bus and you're driving it.
So here's my idea. I think we kind of go half and half.
Of course,
I do think there are some questions that need, I think there are some questions that need context.
Let me explain how that segment works, okay? You have to do all the context ones first.
Yes.
Then
yes.
You have to push the no context button, and then you got to rattle through it. Because sometimes you'll be like, oh, no context. Oh, well, actually, this one, you got to commit, man.
I have it ordered to where it goes from most context needed to least. So I am ready to go, I promise.
You ain't your own Weitzman. Who understandably is not going to argue. By the way, Yaron definitely either likes or doesn't like LeBron.
Well, if you liked him.
100%. Well,
you would say that, right? What did you say you like?
I don't want, I mean, I, you know.
I'm just assuming.
It is a really good, the parts that I've read so far, I haven't read it all, are really good. All right.
I feel like you're filibustering to try to get to more no context.
I really am. Do your thing.
So,
do your thing.
One day, we yesterday talked about Russell Wilson roasting Sean Payton on social media for what Sean Payton taking a shot, perceived shot at Russ. Well, Sean Payton yesterday tried to clarify his comments initially about Russell Wilson.
That was strictly about Dart. I mean, and I that was in no way, shape, or form anything that was directed at Russ.
Buy or sell? You believe Sean Payton?
Sell. Hard sell. This is a no-lie zone. We got to get Sean into the zone and see how he adjusts. It would be an adjustment. Now, I will say this, and buy or sell if you agree with me. I do think Sean Payton sounded rattled there because he understood that he did it again.
Buy.
Right? Like, oh, man, I just threw another guy under the bus. Because he did it to Aaron Rodgers. He did it to
Nathaniel Hackett.
Hackett. Was Hackett still the coach?
No, this is when he took over in training camp. He goes, this is one of the worst coach teams I've ever seen in my life.
That's right. He replaced Hackett, and Hackett then shortly thereafter, or at that point, was the coordinator of the Jets.
Yes, and then what happened in week 5? The Jets go into Denver and beat the Broncos.
The thing is, Sean Payton's right in both cases, though. In the long term, Hackett couldn't hack it, and Russell Wilson is bad. But don't say it, right? And I know I'm the guy that just asked poor Yaron Weitzman, do you hate LeBron? But it doesn't mean you have to answer the question. Some of us have to ask it. By the way, I don't hate LeBron. I kind of like him. It's harder now, and he's becoming less likable. Buy or sell, you like LeBron James.
Buy.
It's not 100%. It's like probably, you know, 60-40.
Same.
Like,
same.
As you have said, as Yaron has said, it's very complicated.
Yep.
So it's more good than bad. You said this is an honest buy or sell. So I want to test your ability to sniff out lying or not.
Oh, I like it.
So yesterday we started with Woody Johnson taking an absolute blowtorch to the career of Justin Fields.
He did, yes.
Well, guess who was talking to the media yesterday? Justin Fields. And Fields claims this.
What was your reaction to Woody Johnson's comments yesterday?
I didn't see any comment. I'm not, y'all know I'm not on, you know, social media at all.
Nobody briefed you here though with the Jets, what he said?
No, not really.
Buy or sell. You believe Justin Fields, and he had no idea that Woody Johnson absolutely roasted him.
I'm going to sell that.
Sell.
This is brutal though, right? Like, let's say that David Marinick, who I love and is my boss, you know, walked into the office and was like, Bill Ryder's the biggest piece of crap I've ever met. It was on tape. And then tomorrow you go buy or sell. You like what David said about you. Well, in my case, I might talk about it because I'm an idiot, but I think I might be like, I missed it. It was a singular tear went down my eye. What are you supposed to say? The guy owns the team. Like, what is Justin Fields supposed to say? Buy or sell at this point, your money's guaranteed. You're never going to make a dollar more than they are required to pay you. Buy or sell that Justin Fields should have just gone full nuclear on Woody Johnson.
Sell.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Only reason is because, now I don't think this is the case, but I'm sure he's delusional enough to think it, that he thinks he can go somewhere else and still play. If you crush the owner, your career is done.
Because it would have been amazing if Justin Fields had said, look, everything he said about me is true, and I'm going to work to change that. What's his excuse for the last 20 years?
I've had 7 bad games. He said 17 years of just atrocious ownership.
Buy or sell, and I don't know why I have sympathy for some people and I just enjoy it with others. Maybe I'm a bad person. A buy or sell, I'm a bad person.
buy.
Good job. Buy or sell, like me, you feel bad for Justin Fields.
Sell.
Really? You know what? Maybe you're the bad person.
I mean, like, sure, from a human perspective, but also, he stinks. And right. I backed, this was the year. I felt like, okay, they're building the offense around him. There's some talent there. And you watch, I'm like, it's so bad, it's unwatchable.
All right, this is a truth by yourself. I'm going to ask myself a question and answer it. Buy or sell, I think Ryan Hickey tells the truth a lot. Sell.
Buy.
Sell.
Sell.
Yeah, there. Yep. Anyway, please continue.
All right, one more here before we go to no context.
Okay.
Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, speaking of taking a blowtorch, right? He's done it to himself, you could argue, too much. So he called out his teammates at the podium for their lack of leadership, although it reflected poorly on him. He gave us a great phrase, the void of silence term, that is added to everyone's lexicon. And yesterday had this little doozy to say.
I think with that, some of it has to do with being able to see guys. With their guys also up front and our guys, and I'm not the tallest guy in the back there either. So being able to see, and then, sometimes when that happens, you don't want to just throw it blindly and you got to progress. So I think that had some merit to reasons as to why that happened for Waddle.
Buy or sell, Tua needs to stop talking.
Buy.
Buy.
I was so stunned early on the show when we were playing that. Did he say that was the merits of why that he's doing it again? What are you doing?
So I think that had some merit to reasons as to why that happened for Waddle.
Merit to reasons? What do you mean? Merit to reasons? I'm writing it down. Merit to reasons. I'm being serious. What does that mean? Buy or sell, you know what merit to reasons means.
Sell.
Merit to reasons and void of silence in separate press conferences.
Right, I mean, you can't say, right? Can you? I don't know. That, brings merit to the reasons why I failed. That doesn't really make... That's just got a whole lot of nothing.
Well, he didn't say it brought merit to the reasons, which doesn't make sense, but is an attempt at an explanation of what... Merit to reasons, like it's an expression. Tacos to water. It's tacos to water. It's just, what? Those are just words that you strung together. But big word. Merit? Merit to, maybe I'm not smart enough to understand. Maybe it is really smart. Merit to reasons?
What's worse, that or void of silence?
I mean, void of merit to reasons. I'm still trying to figure out. Maybe it actually makes sense, and it's just really smart. And I missed it. Void of silence doesn't make a void of silence would be a lack of silence. That would be noise. Okay. Tua has broken me. I'm broken. He's broken the Dolphins, and he's broken my brain. Thank you, Tua.
And he's also, I guess, broken the segment, which means it's time for
no context. Buy or sell.
Buy or sell. You are concerned about the Mavericks ruining Cooper Flagg.
Sell.
One game, it happens, not a big deal, he's going to be fine, and bad players, or I'm sorry, great players have gone to bad teams before, and it works out.
Buy or sell, when it comes from a coaching perspective, making the jump from college to the pros is easiest in baseball compared to the other three major sports?
Well, that's a great question. I'm going to sell.
Sell.
I actually think it's not easy at college. I think the minors makes more sense to understand that level of play. And metal bats are a real thing. And it's a game changer in terms of strategy and level and all kinds of stuff. So what's the easiest, though? Are we going straight jump or transition jump? Or can you jump from being the head coach of whatever, UCLA, to an offensive coordinator for the first time in the NFL, and then you're going straight jump.
Straight jump from same role, head coach to head coach, manager to manager.
All right.
From college to pro.
I'm going to go likely to fail in every situation, but I will go NBA. And I think Brad Stevens is the best example that I can think of that. And I think that's going to become more true as college basketball becomes more like the NBA. The big jump in the NBA, some of it's tactical, but a lot of it's just you're managing guys with money versus guys that without, and there's more power concentrated in individual NBA players because of the size of the roster as opposed to the NFL. And that skill set's going to emerge in college basketball in the years ahead.
And let's finish with this. Remember, this is your segment, your idea. You want to do this. So I'm just going to read the question as is. Buy or sell? This is a terrible idea.
Sell. This is a great idea. I love what we're doing.
Sell.
That's how no context works. That's part of the bit.
That's it. Okay.
That's part of the deal.
This could be anything.
Even D-Cell could get this.
You getting a raise is a terrible idea. No. You getting fired, terrible idea. Sell. I think I'm actually screwing this up.
What are you doing? You just read the questions. You write the questions right, like they're context, and then you go, oh. And so sometimes it's funny because it's, oh, buyers, you know, buy or sell, you agree with him. Could be one. And that's the...
Bill has had a great radio career. Buy or sell. This firing him is a terrible idea. You saw
what are you talking about?
I'm just providing highlight that you just answered a question blindly, and you have no idea what you just answered.
Your own Weitzman came on. This would be the question. Your own Weitzman came on earlier and talked about Russell Westbrook and LeBron James. Your own suggested that it was actually that LeBron was right on Westbrook, and then the no context would be buy or sell. You're with your own. Yeah, you just read it. That's part of the bit. We don't know what I'm talking about.
I just did. I just wrote the question. Buy or sell, this is a terrible idea. We have no idea what the idea is.
It's the first time you've done it right in 6 months.
I'm more highlighting the ridiculousness of it, of like...
Well, you don't have to. It existed before you.
It could be anything.
Okay, you know what? At some point this year, I'm going to do a buy or sell. And then you can call for no context whenever you want.
Are you writing and asking the questions?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
They're going to be very kind. Let's talk about the NBA after we get a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Bill, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at progressivecommercial.com. Over 30 people arrested since late last night in connection to illegal gambling. The 30 includes Blazers head coach Chauncey Billups, Heat guard Terry Rozier, and former player Damon Jones. Billups is accused of helping orchestrate rigged illegal poker games.
These defendants, which include former professional athletes, used high-tech cheating technology to steal millions of dollars from victims in underground poker games that were secretly fixed. The games in the New York area were backed by the Bonanno, Gambino, and Genovese crime families of La Cosa Nostra.
That is U.S. Attorney Joseph Nocella Jr. Billups will appear in federal court in Portland later today, Rozier in the Orlando area. We already knew that odd betting patterns on prop bets from a game in March 2023 had been flagged by authorities. The NBA would prefer you to focus on the first full night of the new season. Phillies' Vijay Edgecombe scored 34 in a 117-116 win in Boston, the most points in a rookie debut since Wilt in 1959. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Writer with you. Thank you for listening here on the Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it's so much more than just another SUV at HyundaiUSA.com. That's HyundaiUSA.com. So, we have some more information coming out of this press conference that the FBI and the Justice Department have held regarding the arrests today that have obviously in a significant way touched the NBA world. Joe Pompliano, at Joe Pompliano on X, has done a great job summarizing this. Thank you, Ryan Hickey, for seeing that. So credit to him. Let me give you some of his summation of what has happened. So, as you know, Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, and Damon Jones have been arrested. This is an illegal gambling and sports rigging operation that's alleged that was across 11 states. 30 people have been arrested. 13 are members of the mafia, and that mafia is the Italian mafia, the La Cosa Nostra, from television, right? From when you're watching TV, and they're talking about the Italian mafia. Here's an interesting thing about this. There are two separate indictments. So the first indictment involves six defendants accused of participating in sports corruption and basically like helping to fix games, bet on games, be involved in information with games you shouldn't have, those sorts of things. I'm going to read you this. This is fascinating. And it seems like the second indictment centers on the allegations around Chauncey Billups, which is mind-blowing. And they're allegations. He's not been found guilty in a court of law. But Chauncey Billups made more than $110 million over the course of his career. Okay. I think it's like 150. I'm reading this from Joe Pompliano's summation of the press conference. The second indictment involves 31 defendants charged with participating in a nationwide scheme to rig illegal poker games. The FBI says they used high-tech cheating technology to steal millions of dollars from victims in underground poker games that are secretly fixed. And then he goes on to say the two are separate, but there are three overlapping defendants, including Damon Jones. There's a lot more. You should go. In fact, I'll tweet this out so you can go. You can go look at it. The rigged poker games were alleged to have occurred in the Hamptons, Miami, Las Vegas, and Manhattan. And the poker scheme supposedly targeted victims who were lured to participate in rigged games to play alongside professional athletes. So Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones are accused in part of basically being the lure, right? The bait to, you know, hey, you should come play in this poker game. Chauncey Billups is going to play in it. I played in a poker game in L.A. before. Legal. It's legal here. It's allowed. But I played in a social game. And who was there? Jennifer Tilly was there. Do you know that actress? She was in Liar Liar. I think that's her name. Anyway, there were some celebrities there. I stopped going because they were playing at stakes I couldn't afford. But they pulled in a lot of people, right? They pulled in a lot of people because people like to play with famous people. I don't because they take your money because they're better at poker than you are because they have more time to focus on poker. Anyway, I'm just going through all of this stuff. And Ryan, you said that you saw, and this is really interesting, that one of the reports out there, and I don't see it in Joe's thing, but maybe I'm missing it. It's very long and comprehensive. I will tweet it at Sports Writer. Ryan, you said you saw that part of the reason Jonte Porter was allegedly fixing games is because he lost money in this exact poker ring?
Yes, allegedly? I'll read number 8 right here. It says the FBI that former Raptors player Jonte Porter was threatened to participate in the sports gambling scheme because of his gambling debts.
You're right. Right there in black and white. So if the allegations are true, and what's being alleged is that he was lured into a game where he was cheated out of millions of dollars and then forced to gamble on games to make up his debt to the mafia, who will hurt you if you don't return money. So something has occurred that I never thought possible. And this is why you got to be careful with permanent judgment on other people. I have sympathy for Jonte Porter. Now, at the time, in a vacuum, it's what an idiot. What are you doing? I know you don't play a lot, but you make a bunch of money. You're an NBA player. How dare you betray the game? You can go find a clip of me. They betrayed the game. Should never. Whatever. I mean, if you have a gambling problem and you got lured into a poker game, and I don't know if he got lured in by the NBA connection people, but it's not outrageous to think, how dare you, Damon Jones? How dare you, Chauncey Billups? And by the way, again, there's a lot here. It doesn't, unless I'm missing this, Ryan, it doesn't seem to allege whether any of these former NBA people knew about the fact that the games were rigged. Does it specify whether Chauncey Billups knew the game was rigged?
It does not say directly that they knew they were participating in rigged games.
I mean, if they did, and it's an if, and if you brought in a Jonte Porter, and you knew, again, there's a lot more information to come out, but it certainly seems reasonable sort of reading through this, and we'll know more tomorrow and we'll talk about it, but it certainly seems reasonable that if the allegations are accurate, what they're alleging is that Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones knew they were working with the mafia. What are you doing? Anyway, this is a very, very big problem. And in a lot of ways, this is more problematic. Chauncey Billups, what's being alleged, I think it's much more serious than Jonte Porter. And you go, what do you mean? I mean, Jonte Porter affected actual games. And because if Chauncey Billups, who's actually a borderline Hall of Famer, who's a champion, who's a head coach in the NBA, if, as is alleged, he used his position in the NBA to allow the mafia to get their claws in players, that is a deep, deep dark hole that Adam Silver is not going to want to have to navigate, but will. And it speaks to the danger and the ways in which you can't just guard, and you have to, against the Jonte Porters of the world, getting 7 minutes a game, you know, going over, under 1.5, whatever, points. You have to guard potentially against luminaries working with the dark forces of criminality to corrupt your game for millions of dollars. This is a very, very big problem, obviously, for the National Basketball Association. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. And Wemby had this amazing magical game. We haven't even talked him. I mean, we've talked NBA nonstop, and we haven't talked any NBA.
40-15-3, the quietest 40-15-3 you'll see in the NBA.
He's so good. He's so good. The problem is, I was watching some of it, and I watched all of the highlights, and even the highlights, when I knew he was fine, I was holding my breath like, oh, I really hope this guy doesn't get hurt at some point. But in fairness, the blood clot thing happens to people. I'm so glad he's okay, and he has the kind where obviously he's on the floor. It's serious, right? It's a real thing, but it's the kind of injury that is not necessarily repetitive based on how they can treat it and the type that he has. It's not, knock on wood, I don't want to say it out loud, it's not as if he blew out his ACL, right? And we're like, oh my gosh, when he comes back, is he going to, A, going to be the same, and B, is it going to hold up? NBA has the potential to be fun this year. Although I don't like how the Celtics pushed your Knicks. I don't like that for the Knicks.
It's one game. Like, they're missing...
I don't like it.
Missing Josh Hart, missing Mitchell Robinson. Cat
right,
is
Celtics
playing
aren't
with the...
aren't missing anybody, so that's a good...
Look at the Cavaliers.
I mean, the Cavs, sorry.
Cavs are good! They're your number one seed in the East!
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You know what I love doing? Declaring sweeping judgments on a long season based on one game.
Especially when I don't mean them. I'm even getting the team wrong. I'm just trying to rally up. The Knicks had the chance to be great. The problem with the Knicks is it's all about the playoffs. That's all that matters. And my confidence level in Mike Brown is kind of my same as Tibbs for different reasons in the playoffs. Low.
That's
fair.
But
I'll be cautiously optimistic. All right, so I'm going to see you tomorrow. We're going to be in person. Man, we're going to have trouble coming up with Bum of the Week. That's going to be a merit to reasons kind of situation. Thank you for listening. I'm Bill Ryder. See you tomorrow from New York on Ryder Than You.